So as I mentioned, springtime, we start thinking about camp. The other thing that I really enjoy about the spring is we start to see some playoff hockey. I'm a hockey fan. I enjoy watching hockey, and I especially enjoy watching our hometown hockey team, Sioux Greyhounds, because you know what? Some years, maybe they don't do that well. This year, they're doing really well. We enjoyed watching the playoff series last round. They won. They're looking ahead to playing Saginaw, and my family and I, we really enjoy taking that in. It's good entertainment, really exciting to watch. One thing, though, that I specifically love about playoff hockey is you start to see in these teams who are kind of putting it all out on the ice, you start to see some determination, some grit, and some character on display. In fact, in almost every post-game report that I've read, because I am following, I guess, rather closely, in every post-game report that I've read, the coach of the Greyhounds and the coach even of the other team talks about the character of their team. The character that's been developed over the course of a season, over the course of ups and downs, winning streaks, losing streaks, injuries, penalties, whatever it might be. They talk about this character that has developed as the team goes through their season, and then you hope that this character shines through as they're playing in the playoffs where there's a lot on the line as far as hockey's concerned. So I've been thinking a lot about character as I watch hockey, and I've been thinking a lot about character as I've been studying this passage in 1 Kings chapter 17. Specifically, I've been thinking about Christian character. And what I mean by that, I can kind of quickly define it here. Christian character is character that we as Christ followers ought to be displaying to those around us and just be displaying in our everyday lives. A friend of mine and I, we've been challenging ourselves this year with memorizing the Sermon on the Mount. We've been listening to a podcast by the Bible Project. They're going into a year-long study and just deep diving into the Sermon on the Mount. It's a really good podcast. If you're a podcast person, I would highly recommend listening to that podcast. And in the Sermon on the Mount, as we read Jesus' words, as we read his teaching, we see a lot of what defines Christian character. Christians ought to be poor in spirit, be humble, be meek. Christians ought to be pursuing righteousness. They ought to be merciful, pure in heart. They ought to be lights to the world in how they live. They ought to love others. And the list goes on as we read the Sermon on the Mount, and really as we read the Gospels and we see Jesus' ministry here on this earth, we get a really good picture of what Christian character is all about. Really, it's about living and trying to be like Jesus every day of our lives and displaying that character that we see in Christ, that character that we know to be true in our God. I want to briefly look, as an introduction to this passage, at some Old Testament individuals that I think display this Christian character. Think of Abraham. In obedience to God, he was willing to sacrifice, to give of his one and only son. Think of Joseph, raised to number two in Pharaoh's kingdom because of his wisdom. Think of Moses' faith in raising his hands and watching the Red Sea split in two so the Israelites could walk on dry land. Think of David's bravery as he slays Goliath with just a slingshot. Think of Elijah, who we're studying, and his boldness in calling fire down from heaven. Think of Daniel's obedience to his God to the point where he faced hungry lions because he was unwilling to turn away from what his God asked him to do. Think of Peter, who's a rock to the New Testament church. We see this theme all throughout Scripture, men and women of God standing strong in who they are in God. All the characters I just mentioned and the stories I just mentioned, I think would be kind of the highlights of their lives, I guess I would say. Like when I think of David, I think of David victoriously standing over Goliath with his slingshot in hand. When I think of Moses, the immediate picture that comes to my mind is him standing there at the Red Sea as it's being split apart so the Israelites can escape the Egyptians. When we decided as a speakers group to speak on Elijah, the immediate thought that came into my mind was the boldness that he had in calling fire down from heaven and the confidence in which he has it. Seriously, if you read ahead, which you can absolutely do in this story of Elijah, you see just how confident he was in his God as he's calling fire down from heaven. But something that I often don't think about is the story that leads up to these kind of climaxes of how these men and these women of faith develop that character that they have to stand so confidently in their God. Before Abraham could step out in faith, offering his one son, he waited and he waited and he failed in waiting for this promised child. Before Joseph rose to his position of power because of this wisdom that we know he has, he was imprisoned, falsely accused, and he was sold into slavery by his brothers, seemingly forgotten about. Before Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, he argued with God that he wasn't the right man to do it because of a physical hurdle. David was a shepherd before he became this soldier that slayed Goliath. Daniel quietly and faithfully prayed to God daily before he was faced with these lions in the lion's den. Peter denied knowing Jesus and then kind of hid out and went back to his fishing career when he thought Jesus was dead before Jesus called him back and he became the rock that Jesus called him to be. Christian character may be on display in these big moments that we see in Scripture, but it is built in the small ones. And I think that that's what this passage points to this morning for us when we look at the story of Elijah. Last year, my grandfather passed away, and he was a man of character. I looked up to him, I respected him, and I learned a lot from him. And one of the biggest blessings about having his funeral and meeting people who kind of knew him throughout his life were hearing these stories, these little stories about how his character had developed and been built over the years. And it opened my eyes to a really important thing, which is this Christian character that we speak of, this being like Christ, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a lifetime of building this character to be men and women who follow God. I was at a missions conference a couple years ago. We brought some of our summer staff to it. So it was a missions conference specifically designed to call young people to consider joining the mission field, to consider proclaiming the gospel to those who had never heard it before. And they had a missionary speak at this missions conference, and one of the things that he said that stuck with me was the plane ride isn't going to change who you are. And what he meant by that is if you're not living in obedience to God where God has placed you, if you're not evangelizing to, loving those who are around you in your family, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your school, wherever it might be, the plane ride's not going to change you. That developing that heart for missions, developing that heart for people happens in the small moments and in the big moments. In a commentary I read about this chapter, the author points out something really interesting about 1 Kings 17. Elijah is introduced as Elijah the Tishbite. And we learned a couple of weeks ago when Andrew spoke that he kind of came out of nowhere. Like, who is Elijah the Tishbite? We don't really have much of an idea, but that's how he was introduced. And by the end of chapter 17, after he goes through this years-long experience of just relying and depending on God completely, we see that he is declared Elijah, a man of God. And I think it's in the circumstances that Elijah finds himself in chapter 17, where his character is built up by the God who loves him, that points to us some ways that God builds character in his followers. Points to us some ways God built character in Elijah, and I think it can be pretty applicable for us today. So there's three specific things that I want to touch on as we read these couple of verses in 1 Kings 17. The first is Christian character is developed in listening for and listening to God's voice. The second is Christian character is developed in responding to God's calling in obedience. So not just merely listening to his voice, but responding in obedience. And the third is Christian character is developed in depending on his provision alone. So let's read 1 Kings 17. We'll start at verse 7 and we'll read till verse 16. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land.'" She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Let's pray before we go any further. Father God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the fact that we can come together and we can look into it and we can study it and apply it. And God, I pray that you'd give us open hearts and open ears to hear what you have to say to us this morning. God, I thank you for the opportunity it is to lead us in this study. And God, I just pray that you would speak through me to your people. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So first, Christian character is developed in listening to God's voice. So in verse 8, we read, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food.'" Elijah, as we heard from Andrew a couple weeks ago, he was not privy to all of God's plan. Instead, he listened step by step by step as God revealed more and more of his plan. So he was here at Kerith, being provided for in this drought by this brook and being fed by these birds that Andrew said were getting a little too handsy with his food. And then the word of the Lord comes to him and gives him the next step. Go to Zarephath, which, by the way, was not some small journey. From what I understand, it was about a 70-mile hike across a country suffering from drought where Elijah was a wanted man. He was being hunted. He says, there God will provide through a widow. So the question, I guess the challenge I have for us on this point is, are we listening for God's voice in our lives? I've not experienced ever an audible voice that I could say that came from the Lord telling me what to do. And I think it's safe to assume that there'd be many in this room who would say they haven't experienced that ever either. But there are many ways in which God has given us that we can listen for his voice, that we can listen to what he has to say to us. A couple of them, spending time in his word. Spending time getting to know him through what he has written down for us in his word. Praying, spending time in prayer, alone before God, asking him to reveal himself to us. spending time with our church family, with more mature believers, listening to their counsel. One thing for me that I love doing, spending time in creation, getting to know God through the beauty of His creation. Another thing I love to do is spending time just serving Him. That's why I love the camp ministry. That's why I've been involved with it in my whole life, is I just love getting that opportunity to serve Him in those contexts. And for years, I struggled with how I heard God's voice. We have this thing at camp called yo-yo time. It's you're on your own time. We did it at youth camp every year for a number of years. And what it is 5 or 6 hours, we send people out into God's creation and we say, look, it's really important that you have this time alone just to hear God's voice. And some people would come back with these amazing stories about how, you know, they were sitting on the rock and the wind blew their Bible open to a certain page and they read it and it was just like directly what they needed to hear. Meanwhile, my yo-yo time experiences were often I'd fall asleep. I would daydream, I'd get distracted. And for a long time, that was really discouraging to me. But I recognize, and I think we all need to recognize, that God designs each of us in a different way. So where some people really need that 5, 6 hours alone to hear God's voice, for me, where I felt most in tune with God, where I felt that I could hear His voice most clearly, was in the hectic busyness of camp. In being in the kitchen where, you know, 600 dishes are coming through really fast and you have to keep up. In getting to know people as you're serving alongside of them. At taking care of a group of rowdy 9 to 11-year-old boys. And I recognize that is how God has designed me to hear from Him. Now, I'm not saying I don't need to spend time in His Word, and I don't need to spend time in quiet praying to Him, but understand that God has designed each of us differently. And if you hear God's voice most clearly in getting away into His creation and spending hours alone so you can just pause and listen, that is great, and you should do that. If you hear God's voice most clearly when you're doing something, when you're active, when you're a part of something, then get to be a part of something so that you can set yourself up to hear His voice and listen for His direction and His guidance. So my point is this, whatever draws you to him, spend time in that so you're better equipped to hear His voice. Because Christian character is built in listening and hearing God's voice. Second, Christian character is developed in responding to God's calling in obedience. In James chapter 1, it says this, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." In Sermon on the Mount, Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount by talking about this wise and this foolish builder. The wise builder builds his house on the rock, and the rains and the wind and the storm come, and the house stands firm. The foolish builder builds his house on the sand, the waves, the wind, the rain comes, and the house crashes. And what's the difference between these two men, the wise and the foolish builder? They both hear Jesus' teaching. One chooses to put it into action, and the other doesn't. So don't just merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Don't just hear God's voice, read His word, but do what it says. Respond in obedience. So God calls and Elijah goes. He makes this long, dangerous journey because God tells him to go. He didn't try, from what we read in Scripture, what's there, he didn't try to figure out the logic behind it. He didn't try to argue his way out of it. Well, it's kind of a dangerous journey. I don't think I should go. Can't you just keep supplying this brook with water? And remember, too, that as we read this story in 1 Kings 17, it happens within a chapter, but this is a years-long thing that's happening with Elijah. And through all these years, through all the hardships I'm sure there were, he continued to listen and obey God's voice. Do we respond to God in obedience? I'm pretty sure, none of us in this room will be called to stand before an evil king and then wait 3 years in a desert as a whole nation struggles with famine. But what about in those seemingly smaller things in life? Do we respond to God in obedience? What about in simply just getting out of your house and loving your neighbor? What about in serving those who are less fortunate than us? What about forgiving those who have wronged you? Are we obedient in those things? Living in obedience day to day builds character, and we have no idea the kind of impact that will have ultimately on our lives and lives around us. I went to a church a couple years ago where I was speaking, and a man there, I'll call him Jim. His name wasn't Jim, but we'll call him Jim. He told a story. Told a story of getting a call from an old coworker who he worked at the mines. He worked with him at the mines. And this was years and years after Jim had retired, after this man had retired, and they really had no relationship beyond work. They weren't friends, they didn't catch up with each other, they just kind of left their separate ways. And Jim said that he was a Christian at the time when he was working at the mines. He made a decision to follow Jesus. And in doing that, he determined to go to his work every day, and amongst the negativity and some of the negative talk and whatever else it might have been, he was going to live differently. He didn't get up on a table and preach to people. He didn't do anything really spectacular. He just determined that he was going to go and work as if he was working for God. This man calls him years after and says, "Hey, can you come and visit me?" So Jim says, "Sure." He goes and visits the man, and the man tells him that he's just been diagnosed with cancer. He has a few months to live. And he said to him, and this is what I find so fascinating about this story, he said, "I noticed there was a difference in you. And I knew it had something to do with God, but I want you to explain that a little more to me because I need that." And this man, 20, 30, 40 years, whatever it was, after working with this guy, was able to go evangelize, witness to this man who called Jim to visit with him, made a decision to follow Jesus, and now his eternity has literally been changed by the small obedience that Jim showed in working every day. A couple of weeks ago, there was a baptism. Young guy Titus mentioned going to camp and observing Dave Lawrence. For those of you who don't know Dave, or never got to know Dave, he was a man of character. And his simple obedience and just loving people who came into his cabin, simple obedience, changed hundreds of lives. That's what Christian obedience is all about. Men and women of character obey God. Third, Christian character is developed in depending on his provision alone. This is where I think we really do see Elijah's character being built, as he must depend on God in this circumstance that is less than ideal. He left what sounded like a pretty good hiding spot to go and travel. And from what I understand in reading the commentaries, the land that he was traveling to was the king's father-in-law's land. So the king's wife, who's responsible for a lot of this persecution of the Jewish people, that's where he was traveling to. So from what appeared to be fairly safe to what appeared not to be safe. Through a country where he was a wanted man, he was being hunted. He had to depend on God for his safety. He was told that a widow would provide for him. And we meet this widow as we read this story. And we meet her collecting sticks. And he says to her, "Hey, can you provide me with some water?" And she responds by going to get him some water. And then he throws in, "Oh, also some bread." She looks at him and says, "We have no bread. We have a little jar of flour and a little jug of oil. That's all we have. We are going to go. I'm lighting a fire. We're making this meal, and it's going to be our last." Which I found interesting as I'm reading this story, because God tells Elijah, "I'm going to direct this widow to look after you." And apparently, she wasn't told anything. But he did direct her to be obedient. Because Elijah says, "You make this bread, give me some first," which seems like a bit of an audacious ask. Give me some first. I'll eat. Then you can eat, and you will see that this flour and this oil never runs out. She responds in obedience, and we see that Elijah, this woman, and her son depend on God to provide for them physically. And we see this miraculous thing that happens. And I was even reading one commentary that said the miracle was so precise in that God could have said, look, I'll give you a storehouse full of flour and a storehouse full of oil, and you don't have to worry about it. But the one commentator pointed out that in the midst of this famine and this little widow who had all this stuff, she likely would have been attacked, maybe even killed for what she had. So instead, God provided as they needed it. His provision was perfect. God provides. We know that as Christians here this morning. We won't always know how, but we can depend on His provision. In the midst of trials, God provides. Financial hardship, God provides. In the midst of heartache, God provides. When we are struggling in our own faith, God provides. In our ministries and what God has called us to do, He provides. And as we see this provision, as we depend on this provision, our character grows and our trust in Him and our faith in Him grows. As I think of God's provision, and we'll wrap it up here, I think of Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. When thinking of God's provision, this is where we need to anchor ourselves. We were dead, we were lost, we were without hope, deserving of wrath, but God, in His great love, provided a way through Jesus. This is what our faith is anchored on. We are provided opportunity to be a part of what He has in store for us here on this earth, to be a part of the kingdom work that He is doing here on this earth. And we are provided hope in an eternal and secure future in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Do you recognize this provision in your life? Jesus provided the foundation on which we can build a life of character, pursuing the goal of becoming more like Him. I try to think of a challenge for each message, for myself, and that I can share with you all. And as I was thinking about that this week, one thing really came to my mind, and this is what it was. I was thinking this week, I've spent a lot of time digging into God's Word, preparing for this message. Spent a lot of time reading and praying and just asking God for guidance and direction as I prepare. And I thought, this fits perfectly into what I think this passage is saying. That I was willing to spend all this time because, for lack of a better word, I had a big thing coming up in having the opportunity to speak here this morning. But next week, when I don't have anything coming up on the weekend where I have the opportunity to preach or anything like that, am I going to be just as zealous and just as passionate about digging into His Word? Because Christian character is built in that day-to-day obedience, the day-to-day listening to God's voice, the day-to-day in depending on His provision in our lives. So maybe you feel like you have nothing big coming up. But understand that God wants our obedience and our devotion all the time. And in this devotion and in this obedience in the little things, we see that character build. And He prepares us for things that we have no idea are coming. So my challenge is this. This week, recognize that day to day, there are little things that might come up turn to God's word, look to obey him, and recognize that those things are building character in you that you have no idea when that's going to come into play in your lives. And that's a really good thing, and it's a thing that I think we can really strive towards putting an effort into and just becoming more like our Savior. So let's pray, and then I think the team has one last song for us. Father God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your Son. I thank you that we can gather this morning and look into your word. And God, I just pray that we would be people who determine to listen to your voice, to obey your voice, and just to see that you provide for us so completely. God, I thank you for the character that builds. God, I pray that we would be a church, that we would be individuals who build day to day on that character. Thank you for your love, and we thank you for your Son. In his name we pray. Amen.